Yes.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I hear you well here. And I was asked if you could please keep your mic muted, except when you are
I'm very
speaking.
grateful.
Okay.
He's a
Perfect.
fella
Thank you so much.
and so easy to forget. Rather like a habit one can always break. And yet I've grown accustomed to the trace
I don't have the packet.
Of something in the air.
Well, I got it.
Accustomed to his
I don't
face.
Because angels are so few. But until the day that one comes along, I'll string along with you. I'm looking for
All right, I believe we're ready to begin this meeting of the Public Tree Advisory Commission, and we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, may we have the roll call, please?
Yes, Chair Allstott. Commissioner Saldana. Commissioner Lucera.
Present.
Commissioner Hall.
Present.
Vice Chair Hunt.
Present.
Chair Allstott.
Present.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. May we have public forum if we have any speakers online?
Yes, if there are any attendees in council chambers or any attendees via Zoom, if you would like to provide a public comment for an item that is not on our agenda, you may please raise your hand in the Zoom application or here in person, and I will call upon you. And Chair Allstott, I believe you have one person indicating they would like to provide a comment via Zoom, Mr. Scott Pipkin. And Mr. Pipkin, I will now allow you to talk, and you have 3 minutes to provide a comment once you begin. And once you unmute yourself, you should be able to begin.
Great, thank you very much. My name is Scott Pipkin. I'm the Director of Education for the Santa Barbara Botanic Garden. Our garden is the first garden in the nation dedicated to native plants, and I just wanted to advocate in this forum for the use of native plants as street trees. I know the City of Goleta approved street tree list has about 68 taxa on it. Only 8 or arguably 9 of those are native trees. Native plants provide incredible climate resilience. They're drought adapted. They also are the basis of the web of life. And so they support important pollinator and bird habitat throughout our communities. So as the city of Goleta looks to update street tree lists and its urban forest management plan, I think it's really important to consider not only utilizing native plants, but also the Botanic Garden itself as a resource to help update lists and think about important outcomes for critical habitat and climate resilience in our communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pipkin, for those comments. I believe that we also had someone send us a letter via email for the public forum. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. It's Mr. Bill Shelar. And I don't know if whether he's listening or not, but I just wanted to thank him for his comments regarding a request for trees at Winchester Commons 2 Park. And so thank you for that. Now we will move to the consent calendar. And I would like to ask whether we could pull an item from the consent calendar so that we might be able to ask some questions. And if that is, if we could pull out the parks and open space report, if that's possible. I can ask my request. I can say that again. Can we pull the parks and open space report so that we can ask some questions of Mr. Thompson?
Yes, Chair, I'll stop.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, bad timing there. So then I believe that A1 is approved the meeting minutes from May 18th, 2022. And may I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Sure, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the May PTAC meeting.
I'll second.
All right, thank you.
And I will now take a vote on the approval of the Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting minutes of May 18th, 2022. Commissioner Hall?
Approve.
Commissioner Lucera?
Agree.
Commissioner Saldana? Vice Chair Hunt?
Yes.
Chair Allstott?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. So now we move to A2, the Parks and Open Space Division report.
Great, thank you, Chair Allstott. Just a little bit of background, since I know that the PTAC has not met for some time and we want to get 2023 with regular meetings. So the Park and Open Space Manager's Report will be a consistent report at every meeting where I do a roundup of the activities that have happened in the Parks and Open Space Division. If it's on the consent calendar, typically, unless a commissioner has a question, it could be voted on and passed, but it's an opportunity for commissioners, obviously, to pull it off of the consent calendar and ask questions about activities that have been happening in the Parks and Open Space Division. So with that, I'll turn it back to the chair, since it sounds like you may have a comment or question about the report.
Thank you. I did have... I hope it's okay. I had just 4 different questions about different aspects of the report. And I thank you for doing this, and I think it will save us a lot of time in the future. And it is nice to know what you have planned and what has been happening. And I know that there's been a lot happening within the city, especially these past 6 months. I had some questions about the city arborist. And I know that this will be the same person and group that's been working with us previously. I am curious about monitoring of tree health and pests and pathogens. And I do want to say, excuse me, I did lose my voice over the weekend and I'm getting it back, but I'm feeling a little croaky. But just as far as tree health, is there a trigger for monitoring tree health citywide or will trees be evaluated by the arborist on kind of a case-by-case basis that is, you know, maybe this triggers a project, some other project?
Chair Alstadt, so one of the things that we do in the city is respond frequently, daily, to citizen complaints, observations, and so really our strongest tool in detection of tree pests is our community. That said, we do have a couple formal mechanisms to identify and detect tree pests. One of them is through the tree maintenance program, so the street tree maintenance program, and we do have an item on the agenda this evening, a presentation. We also collaborate with other agencies, such as the Santa Barbara County Ag Commissioner's Office, and just this past year, they've been rolling out a program to detect invasive shot hole borer, and we hosted a training for our park staff to have basically an identification guide to know what the diagnostics are and what to do when that pest is detected. And so now we have our staff trained up. Ag Commissioner's Office now has detection stations within our park and open space system. And particularly for that pest, we're really trying to protect our native trees, riparian trees in particular. So with that, just summarizing, we have, you know, a huge reliance on our neighbors, property owners, folks that are just out and about in the community that see something, say something, and call us. And then we have a formal detection process as well.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think it'd be great to have some kind of public awareness that, you know, you're relying on people to let you know about the health of trees. I think, I mean, I'm happy to learn that, especially with the shot hole borer. So that was my first question. Thank you. I had a question about the overlap between the landscape maintenance and the tree maintenance contractor in regards to the height of trees. And I know that this might be touched on later by Mr. Metal, but the landscape trees or landscaping contractor works up to 12 feet tall, which really does cover a fair number of trees we have. And then the tree trimmers come in after 12 feet, but the tree trimmers aren't in the parks and open space, right? They're in the landscape maintenance is. And so is there an overlap? And is the landscape company working at the same standards as the tree contractor?
Charles, Seth, there's quite a bit to cover, but really the starting point for that height distinction, the 12 feet from ground level, is based on risk and liability. So obviously, if you're on a ladder, you're operating from a lift or a bucket truck, there's a higher level of concern for worker safety. Okay. That carries with it more liability insurance coverage. And basically, if you're working on the ground as a landscape contractor, maintenance contractor, your employer is generally going to prohibit you from working above 12 feet because their insurance, mm-hmm. workers' comp coverage, all of that doesn't cover
okay.
their employees. So that's, you know, that's the background on that. To address your other question, they do follow the same standard, whether it's a maintenance worker working for our contract landscape maintenance company or a specialized tree contractor that we bring in. You know, usually we follow best practice in the industry, and that's determined by either an ANSI standard or the International Society of Arborists standard. And ultimately, it's building that working knowledge with our landscape maintenance contractor, because we have now a new one that we hired, as I indicated in the report. They're not new to Goleta. They've managed complex landscapes for coming on 30 years. And then to answer your last question, we do have tree maintenance contractors in our park and open space system. Right now, we don't have one contractor that has just a rolling contract similar to what the streets division has. And you'll, again, be hearing about that contractor. But in 2023, we are looking forward to releasing a request for proposals, evaluating tree contractor proposals, and getting a contractor in place so that we can do regular zone rotations throughout our parks and address a lot of the deferred maintenance on our tree resources.
Okay, great. Thank you for that clarification. I think I've combined a couple of my questions, but my final question is, I was wondering if you could let us know a little bit about the Urban Forest Management Plan update process and how that fits into your work plan for the year, and when might we see and hear more about that?
Absolutely, Chair Alsat. So I think I'll start answering this question by just a quick overview of how the city determines through our city council and mayor what the priorities of the annual work plan are. You know, that's one of the key roles of mayor and council, is taking the annual budget, prioritizing work efforts, and making sure that their priorities are identified in what staff is doing. That's an annual process that happens every year. And just today we had our budget kickoff for city staff. That will be developed through the spring. What we're planning for the PTAC, I think this is probably a new opportunity for the PTAC that may not have happened in the past, but we really want the PTAC to have an active role in providing recommendations to staff and the city council on what the PTAC's priorities are for the annual work plan. And so we are talking about the fiscal year, so this would, this process of engaging with the PTAC would happen in the spring, and ready us to provide recommendations to city council in advance of the budget adoption at the end of June, and then the new fiscal year starts in July. So this spring we'll be working with the PTAC, starting at our next meeting in March, to identify work plan priorities, recommendations. And I just want to emphasize here that it is mayor and council's prerogative to determine the priorities for the city. That's why they're elected. And they have a limited budget. And so they will be setting those priorities, but it's up to us as staff and as commissioners to provide recommendations based on our expertise.
All right, thank you very much. Did any other commissioner have a question for Mr. Thompson? All right, hearing none. Now, do we need to approve his report, or do we move on?
Yes, Chair, I'll start. We will be taking a roll call vote, and I would request a motion to approve the recommendation for item A2, receive and file a report regarding recent urban forest activities and initiative in the Parks and Open Space Division.
All right, thank you. Do I hear a motion from one of my commissioners?
Sure, I'll make a motion to receive and file that report on urban forest activities and initiatives in the Parks and Open Space Division.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Oh, I see a second from both Commissioners Hall and Lucera.
And I'll proceed with the roll call vote. Commissioner Hall.
Yes.
Commissioner Lucera.
Yes.
Commissioner Saldana. Vice Chair Hunt.
Yes.
And Chair Alstott.
Yes, thank you.
Chair Alstott, pardon me, but if I may, I neglected to request if there were anyone who would like to make a public comment regarding our consent calendar item, approval of the Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting minutes of May 18, 2022. You may do so by raising your hand in the Zoom application or raising your hand here in council chambers. And Chair Alstott, at this time, no one has indicated they would like to provide a public comment on that particular item. And I would also like to ask if there is anyone who would like to provide a public comment on the item moved from our consent calendar, Parks and Open Space Division Report. And if you would like to provide a public comment on that item, please raise your hand in the Zoom application or raise your hand here in council chambers. And at this time, Chair Alstott, no one has indicated they would like to provide a public comment on that item.
All right, thank you. So now do we move on to items B? So item B1, thank you.
And I would like to ask if there is anyone who would like to provide a public comment on our item, West Coast Arborists Incorporated Street Tree Trimming Agreement Update. If you would like to do so, you may please indicate that wish by raising your hand in the Zoom application, and I will call upon you to speak. And at this time, Chair Alsat, no one has indicated they would like to speak on this particular item.
Thank you very much for that. Then we're ready for the presentation.
Great. Good evening, Chair Alsat, commissioners. Per my manager's report, I'm going to provide you an update on the agreement with West Coast Arborists Incorporated for tree trimming and tree maintenance services for parkway strips and facilities. As city staff went to City Council on June 7, 2022, to execute a multi-year agreement with West Coast Arborists, Inc., the agreement is a four-year agreement with an option to extend the agreement for two additional years for a total of up to 6 years. So that is the new agreement. Let's see if this goes. Yeah. There we go. There we go.
Charles said, if you could just bear with us for a moment, we just have a technical difficulty.
Thank you. Okay, so what you see here is the slide is the interface or cover page of the website provided by West Coast Arborists to city staff. As you can hopefully see, this provides contact numbers, email addresses, updates conducted by field supervisors on tree inventory. It has options to create our own list, trim list. It indicates diseased trees, poorly structured trees, trees recommended for inspections, stumps. It also provides a year-to-date budget, so the city can watch its budget account on what we spent. This site is really goes above and beyond to provide the needed data on trees in the city right-of-ways. And what will soon be added is city facilities. Before we move on to the next slide, I'd like to provide the commission with some year-to-date numbers as well in regards to city trees. Currently, we've trimmed approximately 1,400 trees, and that's palm trees and street trees combined. We've trimmed all city palms this year, and that is the direction we'd like to continue, as palm trees were in need of trimming, and it's been 5 to 7 years for the majority of the city palm trees since their last trim cycle. So there was some heavy growth on the palm trees, and that's really what took a lot of the budget. We've removed approximately 14 dead or fallen trees. These were storm-related or diseased trees. And then we've also removed approximately 50 to 60 down branches throughout the city. And those were due to a lot of drought stress. A lot of liquid ambers and Malalucas were just relieving themselves of their limbs. And so that was a big issue for us. There we go. Okay. As you can see by this slide here, hopefully you can see it a little bit, is that staff originally conducted a five-year trim cycle, but we've now reduced the trim zones to a three-year cycle by combining zones and adding facilities to create a three-year trim cycle. So what you see here is five zones that we had been working with, and let's see. And now we move on here, and with the colors, you can see a little bit. Our goals are, let's see. The next slide shows we have combined zones with the addition of City Hall, Goleta City Library, and the Goleta Community Center. Zones 1 and 3 now are together, and they combine for roughly 2,000 trees, and those will be done in this fiscal year 2022 and 23. Zones 2 and the facilities are next. So you see zone 2, and then you'll see some purple stars in there, and those indicate the facilities. Those roughly indicate about 2,300 more trees, and that is another big zone. So that'll be done in 23, 24, and then additionally, zones 4 and 5 are the next ones for year 24 and 25, and those are over 2,000 trees as well. So now we've got 3 zones instead of the 5, which is better for tree health care, and then we won't lose as many limbs as well. Go to the next one here. Okay, our goals are really to make sure we have addressed and trimmed these trees after the first 3-year cycle, but more importantly is to really have left no stone unturned with the city parkway and facility trees after the 6-year cycle of this contract is completed. We want to really see what these trees have been trimmed up to, and they're going to look great and hopefully have some great health. The scope of work of this contract provides the city with numerous provisions, as in 24-hour emergency response, and they have to be responding. That could be in the middle of the night within 2 hours. Morning notifications of work locations to staff with cell numbers of the supervisor on site, which is great because we get calls from the public and they want to know who's out in front of my house, who's trimming, and we can provide them all that data. And that's great. They're following tree pruning standards of the American National Standard Institute, as George said, ANSI standards. They conduct public noticing for tree trimming, so you will see them on the trees days before they show up, so people have the opportunity to move their cars. And the city retains the wood chips as needed, so that's a big plus, too. We've been using those wood chips. There's been a lot of wood chips, as a matter of fact. So let's see. On November 15th, 2022, or just last month, city staff went to city council for an amendment to the contract to provide additional funding to include tree data inventory. The city of Goleta's urban forest has grown, and it's also lost many species since the last count. So having updated numbers and providing data on trees that were not recognized or trees that are not city trees that were added to the last count will be sorted out throughout this new data inventory, and that'll be huge. And it will be interesting to see the numbers that come back, and especially in terms of vacancies and things of that nature. It'll provide us a lot of opportunity. So this includes my report, and I'm available for questions if you have any.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Medell, for that. I have some questions, but first I'll ask if my other commissioners have questions. I know Commissioner Hunt does.
Yes, I have a question, and this is for either Mr. Medell or Mr. Thompson. I'm curious about the seasonal timing of the trimming with regards to nesting birds and what protections are in place. What does the tree trimmers do if they find an active nest? Is there a protocol for, you know, conserving that or what?
Sure. Sorry. Yes. A great question, Commissioner. So when they do look for bird nests and things of that nature when these contractors are in the trees. In fact, we've spotted nests before, and generally from October to about March is a good time to when they don't have to look, but additionally, through the rest of the year, they're going to look, and they'll stop work, and they'll contact us. And what they'll do is they'll just put it on for a later date. They'll hold off and make a note and say, we're going to come back to that tree when they're gone. Just recently, we went out to Magnolia Street, and we trimmed about 5 huge, large ficus. So we had the biologist go out there before. So generally what we do, if it's something we're concerned about, we feel there might be nesting or things of that nature. And they spotted a nest of hawks. So we held off for over 2 months, and then we returned and we trimmed the trees. But that was a good spot by our contractor, West Coast Arborist. They went up there first and looked for the nest, and it was great. So.
But is looking for nesting birds part of their protocol?
Yes, it's part of their protocol, and that's common.
And I think to follow up on Commissioner Hunt's question, just given the timing of when does the tree trimming rotation start each year?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, obviously, winter months are difficult, so they're going to be doing a lot of removals or responding to emergencies. But like I said, within their scope of work, it's protocols is to look for bird nesting, and then we'll call out a biologist and look at certain trees. And street trees are a little different, but for the most part, they do have nests, especially like the palm trees and stuff. or if we had to stop work. But we do. That's part of their protocol. And they will let us know.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Are there any questions from Commissioner Hall or Commissioner Lucera? Okay, I see no questions. Okay, let me ask you a couple of my questions. I know at least on my street, half of the street has power lines running along it. And so there have been, there's been very aggressive trimming in the last year or two by Edison contractors. And a number of years ago, I remember that a city contractor trimmed the trees and then Edison came along seemingly just a month later and whacked back the trees even further. So I'm wondering, is there any coordination between the city contractor and Edison and the Edison crews? Because it, on one hand, it seems like these poor trees might get cut back twice and that's, you know, double the work for somebody. And also, I was wondering whether... Well, I know, I won't ask you a question about Edison contractors. That's not relevant. but so that was, let's just go with that question first. So is there any coordination? And do you know whether your contractors are aware of Edison's work schedule and how that fits in, if it does at all?
Chair Alstott, commissioners, that's a great question. There isn't too much coordination in terms of Edison. They kind of just go as, and they have the right to, they have an agreement to go through and clear their lines from 6 to 10 feet as they feel necessary for safety measures, obviously. They don't want any sparking or anything of that nature. So in terms of agreement or contact with our contractors, no, there's not much. But when we do see, like you mentioned, we'll notice an Edison trim tree because it's shaped like a U or a V. And it really is difficult when it comes to like an oak tree or something of that nature, a beautiful tree. So what we try and do is if we ask our contractors when they do see the trim trees like that to actually make it level and make it, you know, so it looks like a natural tree instead of just that U. That's the best we can do.
Well, it seems like it might save the city some money if you let Edison go first, you know. It's kind of a joke.
And they usually do.
Yeah. I do have a couple more kind of short questions. And if we've gone from a 5-year to a 3-year rotation, does that mean that will the trees get trimmed the same amount each 3 years? Or just because before you might have wanted to trim them back further because you knew it was going to be 5 years before you get back to them. So is the degree of trimming going to be the same as it was before? Or is it really just on a tree-by-tree basis?
It's basically on a tree-by-tree basis, but obviously this first cycle, there's a lot of heavy growth on these trees that weren't trimmed correctly by the previous contractor that we're trying to remedy now. And so what we found is that they've gone out and we've seen a lot of the big shamalashes and things of that nature with heavy growth. And so it's taken a lot more work. And that's also why we went to council for additional funding. Along with the palm trees and some of these large trees, there's heavy growth. So this first cycle, yes, there'll be probably some heavy trimming to thin them out. But then we'll see in the second cycle, they won't have to. It'll be much lighter. We're just trying to get them back to health.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, and that feeds into my final question, I think my final question, which is I just wondered if you could go into a little more detail about the standards for trimming the trees and whether I'm not that familiar with ANSI 300, I think that was mentioned earlier, whether that's just a safety standard for the public, like it has to be a certain height for the public walking under it, or whether how much of the trimming has to do with safety for the public versus health of the tree versus aesthetics?
Great question. Yeah, so ANSI standards, that's a great question. So it's basically proper pruning encourages growth is what they say. Increases flower and fruit production, improves plant health or damaged limbs, and it gives aesthetic appeal to the tree. And when you talk about ANSI standards, it's more what not to do more than what to do, because they don't want to damage the tree. They don't want to leave branch stubs or make unnecessary heading cuts. They don't want to remove more than 25% of the foliage of a single branch, or remove more than 25% of a total tree foliage, or damage other parts of the tree during pruning, use wood paint, wound paint, prune without good reason, or climb a tree with climbing spikes. These are all standards that they use to protect the tree as they go through it.
Well, that's great, because I think in previous years I've seen all of those things happen just on my street alone. Yeah, thank you. I think the only last thing I was going to say is I wanted to echo Commissioner Hunt's comments about bird nesting season. And in our area, we have both resident birds that are here year-round, and then we have migratory birds. And often our resident birds get started a little earlier, so we may see nesting, well, especially with raptors. I mean, they're starting to pair up now. So that obviously is just the bigger trees in general, but February, March, we may have nests for those birds, and especially, you know, March and April for our resident songbirds. And then the migratory birds, you know, it's April, May, June. And so it kind of, you know, it spreads out over 6 months or so. And I understand the predicament that puts, you know, the city in and the tree trimming companies in. But at the same time, you know, we want to speak up for these animals that, you know, give so much to our, you know, our quality of life here. So is there, who is ultimately responsible for whether or not a tree that one of the workers of the tree company actually does, you know, inspects for nests? Is it their manager? Is it the city? Or, yeah, I mean, who ultimately is responsible for that?
And Chair, I'll start. That's a great question. So ultimately, it is part of their scope of work to look for nests. So it's ultimately the responsibility of their supervisor and manager, but also me as a manager for the city. I want to make sure they're following the guidelines and the scope of work. And that's something we talked to them about before they hit job sites. Sometimes we feel like, and like you mentioned, it seems like it's full year now, where it used to be from March to like September. Things have changed a little bit. And obviously, I don't know whether it's global warming or what it is, but the birds have seemed to be all year now. So we mentioned it to them, make sure you're looking for nests the whole time. Because sometimes they will have to go through emergency branch removals, you know, or a quarter of the tree has been broken off, but there could be nests in there. So it's something we make sure they're aware of.
Okay, thank you for that. And it does seem like with this new contract with this company, it was a little difficult to read all the fine print on the page that you showed with the metrics where they list off what they found, you know, the various states of trees, diseased mm-hmm. trees, dead trees, that
sure.
sort of thing.
Sure.
But it seems like that will go a long way in helping provide a better look at our city's kind of street tree overall health and condition, and will help you plan better for the future. And just the final thing I'm going to say to that regard is that I know in the past we've talked about the database, you know, ArborPro or similar that the city has used in the past or may be using in the future. And I would just like to put in a plug again for some sort of database that could contain, you know, ecological data such as bird nests, so that we know, you know, perhaps the next time tree trimming comes around, there's a note in there saying this tree was really, you know, enjoyed by robins and we found robin nests, or maybe there was a hawk nest, we need to look out for it.
This actual program does have all these options and does provide that information in there as you search through it. So
yeah, that's amazing. Wonderful.
And we've probably received so many more thanks in this short amount of time than we did the whole other 6 years from the previous contractor.
That's great.
And great work.
Are any of those fields, is that only filled with data provided by the contractor, or if the public sees something like a broken limb or a diseased tree or a particular tree that has, you know, hawks nesting in it, can they report that, and then that information gets put into the database?
That's where the city service request comes in. We encourage the public to let us know about these issues like diseased trees or nestings or things of that nature. But we can also provide that back to the contractor, whether we've done city crew trimming or we've experienced seeing nests or things of that nature, and they will apply it to the website.
Well, that'd be fantastic. Thank you. And I see Mr. Thompson.
Charles, I'll just add a little bit more on the city side. We do have a contract biologist. Currently, it's Storer Environmental. So one of the examples that Mr. Medell mentioned, the ficus pruning on magnolia that occurred this year, Mr. Medell mentioned that he had scheduled that pruning. Our contract biologist came out, did a bird survey, detected nests. The pruning got rescheduled based on that input from contract biologist's input. Similarly, in our park and open space system, for all of our tree trimmings, we bring in the contract biologist. And then in certain cases, whether it's on street trees or in the division that I oversee, parks and open space, we also have an opportunity to bring in our contract city arborist to consult on trees that are particularly challenging to prune, or a decision point gets made where it's either a pruning or a removal based on disease. Can we bring this tree back to health? And that's where we rely on experts such as our contract arborist, or in the case of Storer, our biologist.
Thank you very much for that. Do we have any final questions at this point from any other commissioner?
I have a quick one. Never quite sure when it's the right time to ask certain things, and but I'll bring it up, and maybe it won't be addressed tonight. But how often can the tree trimmers address comments from the public when they see something that's dangerous? Like, I'm thinking it might be the rains have knocked things loose, but I just noticed like on the block outside my street, and I think I'm in region two, I'm up in Elwood. There's a palm tree that's just, it just looks like everything's just hanging horribly. And it sounded like from the report I just heard that may have just been trimmed. So is there something where when people request attention to dangerous situations, how often do the tree trimmers stay on top of that and just look out for specific requests? I mean, I realize there's a schedule that has to be kept, so that would make it difficult. Thank you.
Chair Allstock, Commissioner Hall, that's a great question. That's when we rely on our service request, or we encourage the public to call the Public Works Office or City Hall so we can respond to these issues. We'll have an arborist go take a look at it if we feel like it's necessary, or if the city crews can handle it, or the contractor can handle it. There's many different ways we can handle it, an issue with a tree, say if it's palm fronds or hanging limb or things in that nature. Please don't feel free to call into City Hall or use the service request system through our city website. That would be great.
That's reassuring. It sounds like you have a job to do, but you're also going to keep your ears open for situations as they develop. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, everyone. I think we're finished with this agenda item. So,
Chair, I'll start if I could please request a motion to approve the agenda item, West Coast Arborist Inc. Street Tree Trimming Agreement Update.
Yeah, thank you. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
And do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we all second it.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to proceed with a roll call vote for approval of the motion. And I would also like to request that the commissioners please provide the vote verbally rather than indicating through a raised hand. And I'll now proceed with the roll call vote. Commissioner Hall.
Approval.
Commissioner Lucera.
Yes.
Commissioner Saldana. Vice Chair Hunt.
Yes.
Chair Allstott.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, I think this brings up brings us to C in our agenda. Item C1, selection of meeting dates.
Great, thank you, Chair. In preparation for yet another year that has rapidly crept up on us, we've got an item to get our 2023 calendar of meetings set. And if you look at your staff report, you'll see we have four identified meetings: March 15th, 2023, June 14th, 2023, September 27th, 2023, and November 15th, 2023. These are the proposed dates. One thing that we did as staff is just coordinating with our city clerk's office, as well as looking at several other calendars to make sure that we're not having any conflicts with other commissions, boards, cultural holidays, and so forth. We're proposing four meetings, but we always have the opportunity to host a special meeting if there's an issue that comes up where the chair wants to address an issue in a timely manner, or we end up, you know, having so much on our agenda that we need to add a fifth meeting. So just know that there is that flexibility. With that, that would put us squarely on March 15th for our first meeting in 2023. And one of the things that you'll note in my earlier manager's report is that we are staffing up, and that means that we are going to be having regular, more frequent meetings. I realize that this year, for a number of reasons, we haven't had that, but we are looking forward to that in 2023.
All right, well, thank you. What do you need from us at this point to accept those dates?
If there's any discussion for the commissioners, if there are any conflicts, now would be a great time to discuss. Otherwise, basically, we would have a motion, second, and a vote, I believe.
Any comments from other commissioners?
I'd like to make a motion to accept those dates.
I'll second that motion.
Oh, thank you. Chair, I'll stop before proceeding with the roll call vote. I'd like to ask if there are any members of the public who would like to provide a comment on this particular item, which is the selection of our Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting dates for 2023. Please indicate your desire to provide a public comment by raising your hand in the Zoom application or here in the council chambers. And at this time, Chair Alstott, no one has indicated their desire to provide a public comment. I would also like to ask if anyone would like to provide a public comment on our previous agenda item, the West Coast Arborists Incorporated Street Tree Trimming Agreement Update. And if you'd like to provide a comment on that item, please indicate your desire by raising your hand in the Zoom application or here in council chambers. And Chair Alstott, no one has expressed a desire to comment on either of these two items.
More's the pity, and thank you, I forgot to ask.
I would now like to proceed with the roll call vote for item C1, selection of meeting dates for 2023. Commissioner Hall?
Yes, you have my approval.
Commissioner Lucera?
Yes.
Commissioner Saldana? Vice Chair Hunt?
Yes.
Chair Alstott?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thank you. Now we move to item D, Commissioner Comments. And are there any general comments from any of the commissioners? I have one, but I'll wait.
I have one. It's rather vague, and the subject of my comment is vagueness. I am curious what form the communications from the city regarding the advising administration and management of the Urban Forest Management Plan will take. I appreciated Mr. Thompson's comments, and it sounded as though he has plans to include us in the planning that's going to take place. And I was just curious what format these might take, if we should be soliciting information or checking websites, or just, I guess in general, just trying to stay on top of your public meetings. Anything beyond that that we could do or can expect?
Chair and Commissioner Hall, unfortunately, I'm not able to directly respond to your question and comment. The purpose of the commissioner comments right now is just to have anything that you want to bring up as a notification informational item. But I will say, in reflecting back to my comments earlier in my manager's report, that we are planning to address your question at the March meeting. That will be part of our annual work plan discussion And it'll be 100% focused on the Public Tree Advisory Commission's input on developing that annual work plan, what's in it, and providing feedback to staff on what is a priority for the commission.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. Anyone else? I just wanted to make a quick comment, and I thought about this when I saw the Parks and Open Space report mentioning the monarch butterfly count. I just wanted to say how sorry I was to hear about Dan Mead's passing a few weeks ago, and I just wanted to say how I know how important he was for monarch butterflies in general, but also as a wealth of information for the city, especially for Elwood. And I sincerely hope that we can find someone, you know, half as good as he was. But I just know that the service that he provided just to, you know, the ecology of our area and the community as a whole. So, yeah, thank you.
And I may be out of order, but I have to second that.
I think at this point, I would like to move for adjournment of the Public Tree Advisory Commission. So do we need to have a motion for that, or can I just say it's over?
Okay. Chair, also no motion is required. Okay.
All right. Well, this meeting's adjourned. Thanks all for calling in, and we'll see you and hear from you hopefully all in person in March. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. Good night.
So make it one for my baby.